into the kingdom. I know that we're all equal. However, I think that there would have been a really special, unique welcome for Billy Graham. In my heart, I just pictured that. All the people that he's led to the Lord, all the people whose preaching affected them, his preaching affected them to the point where they were raised from death because they moved from the dark into the light. Yeah. And then Pat Duquette followed him. She was right behind him. And I was thinking about her as well. And just so thrilled to know that she has no more sickness, no more pain, no more of the ailments that these earthly tents lean towards sometimes. We need to reflect on heaven a little bit more, don't you think? We do. We need to reflect on it. We go about our daily lives, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and, you know, we are supposed to be anticipating the return of Christ. And that in itself, personally, I'm really hoping that I'll be part of the rapture, because I think that that would be the coolest experience ever. So we need to be reflecting on heaven, because this isn't really our home. This is our temporary place of residence until we get to where we were initially intended to be in heaven, in the very presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. That is not what I'm preaching on today. But I just really, I just wanted to express that. Our hearts should be towards heaven. Amen? Amen? Yes. Do you agree? Amen. Yeah. When's the last time you thought about heaven? So, today, we're continuing in our series, Experience God Today. So you're going to experience God today. Have you experienced him this week? Can you think for a moment of a time this week where you experienced him? Or maybe more than once, or twice, or three times. Okay, just reflect on that for a moment, will you? I'm going to close my eyes too. How did you experience God this week? We need to take time to do that as well, don't we? Just take a deep breath sometimes. God, thank you. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of experiencing you this week in such and such a situation. Amen. John 8:47 says this, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." This verse is a little bit harsh, so this isn't from me, this is from the word of the Lord, okay? It has a little bit of harshness towards the end of it. "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Whoa. You know how many times I've read that verse and never really thought about it? How often we do that? We don't think about heaven, we don't think about how God is operating in our lives, we don't really think about the scriptures that we're reading, we just read them. But as I was preparing this, I was thinking, like, what? If we're not hearing him, it's because we do not belong to him. Whoa. It's a little bit extreme. However, we need to take that into account. There's a story of a woman that is said to have gone to her pastor and said, "A brother in the Lord has spoken to me and said that the Lord is sending me to Africa." The pastor replied, "Well, if you do go, you better take that brother with you, otherwise you won't know when to come back, will you?" Mm-hmm. Did you get it? Mm-hmm. I think that was a gentle rebuke. So today, I'm talking about God speaks to us. There's an important point to understand, and in our process of experiencing God, very important point is that we need to know when he is speaking. And he does speak to us. Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice." That was a declaration and that was a promise for us. If we don't know when God is speaking, we are in trouble at the very heart of our Christian life. Okay? It's hard today. Like, it's like empty down the middle. So I keep having to go over here, over here. Ooh, a little bit heavy on this side. Okay. It's hard when you look ahead and there's like, all right. Tracy, did you put that post in Facebook? You know what? It's not freezing rain anymore. Let's come out to the soups on for afterwards. Okay. So, I want to focus our attention today on how God speaks by the Holy Spirit to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. So I'm going to read some of what the Bible says about God speaking to his people. Hebrews 1 and 1 says, I'm going to turn this way for a minute. Hebrews 1 and 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." John 14, 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And in John 16, 13 to 14, we read, "When he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." John 8:47. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come." Ooh, I just read that one. "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." And John 8 and 47, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." So, first point I want to look at is that God spoke in the Old Testament. God has been speaking to his people since the very beginning of time. In the Old Testament, God spoke at many times, and he spoke to his people in a whole different variety of ways. For instance, in Genesis 16, he spoke through angels. In Genesis 15, he spoke through visions. In Genesis 28, through dreams. Jeremiah 18, symbolic actions. 1 Kings, a gentle. Exodus, miraculous signs. And the list goes on and on and on. The fact that God spoke to people is way more important than how he spoke. Okay? I find today people are looking for, you know, a way. How is God going to speak to me? Okay? Am I the prophet that he's going to speak through? Am I not to be receiving visions from him? It doesn't matter. Just wait and listen and allow him to speak. The fact that he speaks to you in and of itself is the matter, not how he speaks to you. Amen? When he spoke, the person knew that God was speaking. He knew what God was saying. And there's four little highlighted things I want to show you in Moses' burning bush experience that we find in Exodus chapter 3. And I'm just going to read a little bit of that for you. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire. Now, I want to point something out to you. Whenever you see in scriptures where it says, the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord or an angel, it's saying, there the angel of the Lord appeared. When you're looking at the original languages, what that phrase there, the angel of the Lord, who that is referring to is Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ. That's a bonus, okay? That's just a little bit of extra stuff. Okay, so the angel of the Lord was in the flame of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God says. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Yeah. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. In the presence of the Lord. It's holy. It's a holy thing to be in the presence of the Lord. From this encounter of Moses with God, with the Lord, with the pre-incarnate Christ in the burning bush, there's a few things I want to pick out. When God spoke, it was usually unique to that individual. For instance, Moses had no previous example for a burning bush experience. There were no other experiences of God speaking in that way. He had no other way of knowing initially that that was the voice of the Lord, because that was a new experience for him. And God wants our experience with him, his voice, to be personal to us. Remember what I said? It isn't how he speaks, but it's the fact that he does speak to us. Don't expect him to speak in a specific way. Don't put him in a box as to how you are going to hear his voice. Be open. Another point to pick out of this encounter that Moses had was that when God spoke, the person was sure that God was speaking. Because God spoke to Moses in a unique way, Moses had to be certain that it was God. The scripture shows that Moses had no question that this encounter was with God. Could Moses logically prove to someone else that he had heard from God through a burning bush? Could you imagine what that would have been like for him to explain? No, but really, there was this bush and it was on fire, but it wasn't burning up, and I heard God's voice come out of it. Like, logically, he could not explain that to anybody. No, all he could do was testify to his encounter that he had with God. And that's a beautiful thing. It's the same in our own lives. When we encounter God, when you encounter God in a specific way, and somebody who is in the opposite camp, who is not a believer, and tries to refute you, you know what? It's your experience. Nobody can dispute your personal experience with God. It may not be logical to them. They may not understand it. They might not want to get it. But they cannot refute it. They cannot debate it, because it's your personal experience with God. And it was the same with Moses. All Moses could do was testify to his encounter. Only God could cause his people to know what the word he gave Moses was a word from him. It's only God, it's only the Holy Spirit that can... That's not me. Nope. So, the next point out of Exodus is that when God spoke, the person knew what God said. Moses knew what God was telling him to do. God spoke, Moses heard, and he understood. He knew how God wanted to work through him. And that is why Moses raised so many objections. I'm not gifted in that way, Lord. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and he fought him. He knew exactly what God was expecting. God made his message clear to him. There was a Scottish preacher by the name of Duncan Campbell. This is a really neat illustration. He was best known for being a leader in the Lewis Awakening, or the Hebrides revival that took place in the 40s in the Hebrides in Scotland. So Duncan Campbell was at a conference when he had a strong feeling to go to the Hebrides. And when he arrived there, he made his way up to the church where the cleaner, the janitor, was going about his business, cleaning up the church. And Duncan Campbell said to him, "What's happening here?" And the cleaner says, "We have a speaker tonight." And Duncan Campbell said, "What's his name?" And the man replied, "Duncan Campbell." And Duncan Campbell said, "But I am Duncan Campbell. How did you know I was coming?" And the man turned to him and said, "How did you know to come?" To hear the voice of the Lord so clearly is a beautiful thing. Amen? So also, when God spoke, that encounter was with God. Moses would have been foolish to say, "This has been a wonderful experience with this burning bush. I hope this leads me to an encounter with God." That was the encounter with God. When God reveals truth to you by whatever means he does it, this is the encounter you're having with God. That is an experience of his presence and work in your life. When God speaks to you by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, through your brothers and sisters at church, you will know it's God. You will know what he is saying. When God speaks to you, that is an encounter with God. So, secondly, I would like to look at the key to knowing God's voice is a love relationship. An intimate relationship with God is the key, the absolute key to knowing God's voice, to hearing when God speaks. As God speaks and you respond, you will come to the point that you will begin to hear his voice more and more clearly. It takes practice. It takes practice. You hear his voice. If he's giving you a directive, you follow it through. And if it really wasn't God's voice and you followed it through, well, you know what? You pick up and you try again. Practice makes perfect. Some people try to bypass the love relationship with God. Some people look for a miraculous sign, or they try to depend on a specific formula or set of steps to discover God's will. There is no substitute, though, for intimate relationship with God. It is through your relationship with him that you will hear him speak. So I want to expound on that a little bit, too, this particular point. So the key to knowing God's voice is the love relationship. It's not a miraculous sign. Sometimes in Scripture, God gave a miraculous sign to assure the person that the word was from him. If you look in Judges chapter 6, Gideon is one example. Asking God for a sign, however, is quite often an indication of unbelief on our part. Putting out a fleece, like Gideon asked the Lord to put dew on the fleece in the morning and then the next day to keep it dry, he was putting out a fleece. And we can question, but sometimes when we do, when we continuously put out our fleece and ask God to show us a sign, it's an indication of unbelief on our part. Putting out a fleece like Gideon is often a sign of our unbelief or our unwillingness on our part to trust God for an answer. So, again, the key to knowing God's voice is not a name it and claim it method. Some people have the tendency to open their Bible, they pick out a verse that they want to use, and they claim that they have a word from God for their circumstances. If that's not eisegeting scripture, I don't know what is. This is a very human-centered or self-centered approach. Only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal to you which truth of scripture is a word of God in a particular circumstance for you. So also, the key to knowing God's voice is not opened and closed doors. Some people try to hear God's voice and know his will only through circumstances. Many people say something like this, "Lord, I really want to know your will. Stop me if I'm wrong and bless me if I am right." Or another version of this is, "Lord, I will proceed in this direction. Close the door if it's not you, if it's not your will." God does use circumstances to speak to us. I am not denying that fact. But we will often be led astray if that is our only means of determining God's direction in our lives. The key to knowing God's voice is a love relationship. The closer you get to Him, the easier it will be for you to hear His voice. So thirdly, God gives specific directions. Only God can give you the kind of specific directions you need to accomplish His purposes and His ways. God will always give you enough specific directions to do now what He wants you to do. When you need more direction, He'll fill you in on that a little bit later on down the road. We don't need to have the full plan. All we need to know is step by step. Sometimes if we knew the full plan ahead of time, we'd never venture out. If you don't have clear instructions from God in a matter, here's my advice to you. Pray and wait. Pray and wait. Learn patience. Depend on God's timing. His timing is always right and best. Can anybody else here attest to that? Don't get in a hurry. In our culture, everything has to be, you know, they call it the now generation, and they speak about young people. The now generation is for all generations. There's not one age group that does not fall under that category. We want everything now. We can't do that with God. Don't get in a hurry. He may be withholding directions to cause you to seek Him more intensely. Don't try to skip over the relationship to get on with doing. God is more interested in a love relationship with you than He is in what you can do for Him. Did you get that? He's more interested in a love relationship with you than what you can do for Him. People ask, how can I know whether the word I receive is from God, my own flesh, or Satan? Some people go to a lot of trouble of studying Satan's ways so that they can identify when something appears to be a deception of Satan. Why? I've had conversations with people over the years, like, Satan, 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 and, you know, this is the way he operates, and, you know, I know he's operating in my life right now because of such and such, and, you know, this is what he does, and I'm like, why are you so intensely involved in focusing on Satan? Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus and his ways. Get to know his ways. Never mind Satan. I don't want to know anything about him. Jesus. Focus on Jesus. I'm pretty sure I have shared this illustration with you before, but I'm going to do it again today. The RCMP trained people in anti-counterfeiting work. Okay? Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They never let a trainee, this is so cool, they never let a trainee see a counterfeit bill. They only know one genuine type of bills, whatever denomination it's in. They so thoroughly study the genuine bill that anything that doesn't measure up to that is counterfeit. You see what I'm saying? Don't focus on the counterfeit. Why waste your time, your energy, your breath, your brain power on the counterfeit? To know whether he's operating in your life or not? Study God. Study Jesus. Study the Holy Spirit. And when you know the Trinity, then you will easily recognize the counterfeit. When you're faced with a sense of direction, you may ask yourself, is this God, me, or Satan? How can you prepare yourself to know clearly from a word from God? You need to know the ways of God so thoroughly that if something doesn't measure up to God's ways, turn from it. Amen? So in summary, here's some of the points that I touched on today. Are you listening? Have you been listening? Are you sleeping? I see some eyes closed. Yeah. Dave Humphreys, wake up. He's not really sleeping. One day I'm gonna go up to you. Somebody, if I see somebody dozing off. Because you can't really tell if I'm standing beside you, because the speaker, I'm coming out of there, so I could be standing beside you and be talking, and I'll just, Richard, the next time you doze off, wiki wiki. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen you doze off. Not yet, anyway. So, here in summary, if I have trouble hearing God speak, I'm in trouble at the very heart of my Christian experience. Knowing God's voice comes from an intimate love relationship with God is primary. That God spoke to me, to us, is far more important than how he spoke. When God spoke, it was usually unique to that individual, and it will more than likely be unique to you. When God spoke, that person was sure that it was God. When God spoke, that person knew what God said. When God spoke, that was the encounter with God. I do not have clear instructions from God in a matter. If I do not have clear instructions from God in a matter, I will pray and wait. Pray and wait. I will not try to bypass that love relationship that I have with him. So I'm going to say a blanket prayer over us before we go for our soups on. Everybody going to go for soups on today. It's going to be awesome. And there's going to be some heavy bidding going on in the auction table there. So let's just focus in on the Lord for a moment. Close your eyes. Before I pray this prayer, is there anybody here today who has never received Jesus as their personal Savior, and you would like to do that today, I never want to miss an opportunity. Is there anyone here today who you feel, as you've been listening to the word of the Lord today, that, you know, I don't think I'm quite measuring up in this area of hearing God's voice? I may have drifted away from him a little bit. I may have allowed myself to focus on me rather than on a love relationship with Father. If that's you today, would you just put up your hand? I'm not going to ask you to do anything. This is between you and the Lord. If that's you, put up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Quite a few people. That's okay. Today's a new day. I'm going to give you the opportunity in this very moment to lay that at the foot of his throne. So I want you, ones that just raised your hand about that, I want you to pray right now. Ask him to forgive you. You're starting fresh. He is a loving, merciful God, and he forgives you. God, you continue to speak to us from the times of old to this moment in this day. You continue to speak to us. God, give us ears to hear, hearts to trust, and hands to act. Take away the temptation to carry out our plans and leave yours until later. Help us get on with your argument, your assignment, your desire, the minute that you give it. You know who we are better than we know ourselves. You know the adjustments that we need to make to carry out your assignment. God, work in our lives through your Holy Spirit. Create the image of Christ in us so that we have the character to fulfill your will. God, we agree together. We want to hear your voice and obey your will. So be it, Lord. Amen. Amen. So don't be surprised.